Spilling the tea on Hollywood's A-listers.
Kardashians.
I have met every single one.
Exposing scandals.
Because she's not a good person, but either is he.
Digging the dirt.
Is she a diva? Yes.
And finding out what's going on behind the scenes.
Yelling at cast members.
Yes.
It was a script.
Nah.
His identity is a secret.
But his stories have been proven right time and time again.
This is Enty.
Enty, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing all right. How are you? How's things over there in Los Angeles?
They're lovely. Lovely. It's the best time of the year. It's the holidays.
So what happens? The holidays start...
Now, Enty.
Oh, can you hear me, Jono? Sorry, Jono's broadcasting for somewhere
Sorry,
else.
Sorry, it's a bit of a delay.
Oh, yeah. You go.
Yeah, I can hear everybody.
Enty... Sorry, there's a bit of a delay here.
Yeah.
Enty, big week this week. Snoop Dogg came out and said he's giving up smoke, but then I've just seen on Instagram... It was a long runway and an ad for a fireplace that doesn't emit smoke.
Yeah, can you imagine? This is a guy who basically has 100 blunts rolled out for him a day or something like that. So the idea that he would go from however many he does actually smoke to zero seems a bit of a stretch.
You know what it does? It just every time something like this happens, it just you're the first thing that comes into my head where... You've lost, you know, Hollywood has worn you down. Nothing is real. Nothing is sacred.
No, I mean, it would be, I try to imagine what the state of the world would be like if Snoop Dogg and Seth Rogen just decided one day to go cold turkey together. Like, they should have some kind of contest. Like, whoever can go the longest without, like, $1 million to charity. And I wonder exactly how long that they could you know, withhold having... To smoke pot. Those are the two biggest celebrity pot smokers. So if you think about it, I would love to see some kind of competition. And they can even make it a reality show where they're living together and Snoop and Seth, and Snoop's making music and Seth's like trying to help. And you know, maybe they're making a movie. And at the same time, you know, they're not able to smoke, but there's all this temptation, you know, like they can kind of smell it wafting through the air conditioning vents or something like that, you know?
I love it. Well, so what's the legalities over there? Because California, it's all legal. And how long has it been legal?
I want to say about 2 years, maybe at the most, something like that. Medicinal has been legal forever. And then the, you know, just going to buy it anywhere, you pretty much can do that. I think that everybody, when it happened, when it legalized, so many places opened up and they're having a tough time, you know, struggling. I see some places close and everything. It's always interesting when you go into one and the general consensus is like, you know, hey, thanks for coming in. I'll be your bud tender today. Stuff like that. It's always interesting to me, like what their thing is. And invariably, whoever I'm helped by, looks like they've been sampling the product nonstop since it went legal.
So do you smoke weed?
No, not generally. You know, I'm not a big smoker kind of guy. So, I mean, I'll go in, I'll have an edible from time to time. But these guys, it's always fun to ask them, you know, like, oh, what about this? And they go, yeah, well, we just got that stuff in it. Let me tell you, this stuff will just drive you crazy or it'll make you wild. And I guess California has, we're not as heavily taxed for whatever reason as some other of the states when it comes to pot. And I will talk to people across the country and they'll say that, oh my gosh, that's all you're paying for or whatever. And it's ridiculously low. And I think that people, especially here in the States with the, you know, fentanyl always being, you know, laced and stuff, that it's much better to have a place that you can actually go and have some kind of faith that the product's not going to kill you.
Do all celebrities smoke it?
I mean, I feel like it is. I mean, when you're out and about in LA, this is the one thing I still haven't been able to wrap my head around. So you can go, let's just take, for example, the Grove, which is an outdoor shopping mall. You can walk around there and you basically, you know, it's a nonstop contact high kind of thing. You can tell people are smoking it, they're vaping it and stuff like that. And I don't have a problem with it. I don't care. But if you were to do the same thing and be walking around with like a margarita or a beer, you could go to jail.
Wow.
Or get a ticket. You're not going to go to jail. You're going to get a ticket or something like that. And, you know, there's often people that, you know, you pull up alongside and they're smoking and everything. And I think people just, they would never think to have like a beer in their hand while they're driving a car, but they don't really have a problem, you know, just having a quick puff or something, or a vape or something at a stoplight. And it just, it kind of blows my mind how there's, it's two different kind of universes compared to like drinking and then smoking.
It's, I mean, this is good. So you are allowed to smoke and drive.
Technically you're not. However, I just feels like people just say, you know, who cares what's going to happen? I haven't ever seen anybody be pulled over for. You're much more likely to get be pulled over for talking on your cell phone than smoking pot in your car.
Or jaywalking. Jaywalking. So I got a warning for jaywalking in Beverly Hills.
In Beverly Hills, yeah, that'd probably be the only place that you would get any kind of, you know, warning for that at all. It depends. You know, there are some communities in Southern California that have, they're very big on red light cameras and stuff like that. And then there's some that aren't. And so people will run red lights. And the kind of the unwritten rule in LA is that, so the light turns yellow and prior to it turning red. So it's generally whatever city you go to in the United States, when the light turns yellow, one car gets to go. Well, in LA, it's an unwritten rule that two cars get to go. So, you know, it's, you know, you don't want to start off jaywalking. If you don't know this rule, then the next thing you know, you're getting hit. But in LA, it's just kind of, you know, it's understood. You know, I waited a long time at this light. There's not a lot of what we call protected turns. So it's the two people get to go on the yellow, not a third. That would be too many. But you will get honked at if you're the second car and you don't go.
Oh, really? Jeez. Over here, we're just like, if you think you can make it out of the intersection in time, give it a bash, mate. And you put your hand on the roof, don't you, for good luck?
Oh, really? See, that's something, yeah, I would, you know, most people here would never have their cars rolled down, the windows rolled down, unless they're smoking, or unless they want to be seen, like they just got a new Bentley or something like that, and so they want to roll it down so people can take a look at them and talk to them or whatever.
Now we've got Enty with us live from Hollywood. Now, Enty, just quickly, Paris Hilton put out something on her Instagram yesterday, a photo of her and Britney Spears from way back in the day, and she claimed that they invented the selfie. They were the first people to ever take a selfie.
I've thought about that since I saw it. And I mean, I don't think that's necessarily true. I think that they were definitely the people that were responsible for the most part, for the paparazzi and for paparazzi scrambling to get photos and selling photos. And for people who are a little bit younger, maybe, you know, young Gen Z, you know, if you go back to like 06, 07, 08, the magazines, like the tabloids here in the U.S. especially, and the U.K. probably too, they are paying extraordinary amounts of money for photos. Whether it's Angelina Jolie baby photos for $8 or $10 million, which kind of it's hard to wrap your head around now, but the magazines were two or three times bigger than they are now. People were still buying magazines. Online hadn't really caught on 100%, but everybody wanted photos of these stars, and so paparazzi were making a lot of money, and they were trying to get all these photos. And it just so happened to coincide with Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton, and Britney Spears at their peak, you know, tabloid kind of fame. And I would say that those three drove the paparazzi industry for a couple of years. And then that led to stars on the periphery also making money. And, you know, some of my favorite photos of all time are from that time period, whether it's the Lindsay, Britney, Paris all in a car photo. There's a Nicole Richie, Lindsay Lohan, where they're walking and they basically look like combined, they weigh like 100 pounds. But I want to know, I haven't tracked it down in a while. I used to know the name of the person who took the Lindsay Britney Paris photo of the car. And I would imagine that you could sell the original of that for probably many, many tens of thousands of dollars to the right person.
Wow.
Wow.
The paparazzis, you must have known it. Well, like you say, you did know some over the years. What would they make at their peak per year?
There's a couple of different ways. Okay, so there's two kinds of paparazzi images that'll make you money. So if you get somebody back then, it would be maybe like $500, you know, for a good, decent Paris Hilton, Britney Spears video. I mean, photo, $500, which is, you know, not bad for a day's work. But then if you get what I call like the unexpected, or if you get a photo of them doing something that's, you know, a little bit risque or some kind of different angle or something, it could be $1,000. So if you're talking about somebody trying to make $1,000 in one day from a photo, it obviously is going to lead to a bunch of people competing for that kind of stuff. There is a park in Beverly Hills called Coldwater Canyon Park, and it straddles Beverly Hills and Los Angeles. It's a few blocks north of Rodeo. And one of the unique things about Coldwater Canyon Park is that it has a preschool. And because it has a preschool, it has Wi-Fi. And you would often see all the paparazzi lined up as close as they could to this preschool so they could get the Wi-Fi signal. And also because it's only a two-minute drive from Rodeo, and they would sit there and they would wait and somebody would give a tip, and also you'd see like five guys pull out. But it's also a very popular park and playground where celebrities can go, okay, there's always going to be a paparazzi here. I can say, oh, just meet me at Coldwater. And, you know, they'll go and the celebrity or whatever will sit on the grass on a blanket or whatever, talking to their kids or playing with their kids. And you are allowed to take photos in that situation. Now there's unwritten rules. So if the celebrities were on a playground, the playground rather than the park area, then photographers were not allowed to go onto the playground proper to take the photos. But if there was the park, then yes. Or they could say, okay, well, why don't you guys walk down the street towards the park? You know, we'll take your photos and stuff like that. Just again, like all of these unwritten rules. And there was one time Hillary Duff, maybe her kid was, her oldest was maybe 4 or 5 years old. And I remember one of the paparazzi like violated this rule and went onto the playground proper with Hillary and her child there. And the other paparazzi started yelling at the guy and everything like that, because it's this deal. They don't want anything to damage their business or anything like that. So it's just, hey, this is the rule. This is what you got to stick with. And like Hillary laid into him and other people, it was just this mess. Now, if she had been over on the park part, the grass area, then it would have been perfectly fine. And they could have taken the photo. And that was just the name of the game.
Feels like that kindergarten needs a bit of Wi-Fi passwords. Everyone's hacking into their Wi-Fi.
Yeah, well, it was open Wi-Fi. It was an open Wi-Fi. And also there's also food trucks, two food trucks, because of the community that it's in. A lot of the gardeners and staff and household help at these really huge mansions and stuff, they would go down to the food trucks. So you had food trucks, and it was also, because it was a park, there was a bathroom. So you had Wi-Fi, food, and a bathroom. So they just essentially just stayed there all day long.
Damn, there's what a setup, eh? Free Wi-Fi, free food. Love it. Well, not free food. Back to Paris Hilton. You don't like her, do you? You got your bee in the bonnet about Paris.
You know, I've gone back and forth about, there's a lot of things that I find sympathy for. I think that her parents are atrocious. And so I have a lot of sympathy and empathy for how she grew up and them sending her to Utah to this home or camp or whatever. So I think that a lot of what happened to her was messed up because of who her parents were. And her mom got it from her mom, you know, because Kathy Hilton's sisters, Kyle Richards and Kim Richards, both were actresses from a very young age. Kyle Richards is a reality star now. Kim Richards is also on a show with Kyle. But if you go back to, you know, the Disney movie Escape to Witch Mountain and Return from Witch Mountain, the original, it's not the ones with Rock. You know, it's Kim Richards as a teen. And that was just, the mom was always trying to get them to work and stuff like that. So there are parts of Paris Hilton's story that I do not like. I find that she can be very abrasive and just not very friendly. But at the same time, she knows how to work the game. She's a hustler. I'm not going to ever say that she's not a hustler. I find that her DJing right now, like she was in Vegas doing the Grand Prix this weekend, a DJ thing. And if you look at like the jumpsuit she's wearing, she is one full huge ad for Hilton Hotels, and which, you know, makes sense in a way, because that's obviously the family money, but just that she's getting paid by the Hilton Corporation to wear Hilton stuff on a Hilton body. It's just, it kind of, you know, surreal, blows the mind a little bit.
Now, would they, I suppose they get a bit of a discount, would they? Any Hilton around the world? Could she come to the Hilton in Taupo in New Zealand and we'd give her a 15% discount?
I think she gets to stay for free at any Hilton she wants.
Well, I imagine it's her family name, right? 15% seems like not enough to me, but anyway, I don't own hotels.
Friends and family discount. Oh, we've got Enty with us. He's from Hollywood. Now, some revelations have come out, accusations about Will Smith's sexuality, which it feels a little icky talking about, to be honest, but his best friend of 40 years is basically unloaded on a podcast like we all do nowadays. Told the podcast host that he walked in on Will being serviced by another gentleman, and it was all very active. A lot of action going on.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the rumors about Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith have been around for years. I found the more interesting thing that I found in that interview was the fact that Will caught Jada Pinkett Smith and Mark Anthony having sex. I found that more interesting. I was like, yeah, yeah. And I believe that, I think it was after Mark Anthony and J-Lo had split, or it was around that same time, but I found that to be much more interesting, because there's always been this thing where Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith have been what I like to call Scientology adjacent, and Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony the same kind of way. And it was just kind of like, I was just like, what brought these two together? You know, Mark Anthony and, you know, Jada Pinkett Smith, it just kind of blew my mind. But yeah, there's plenty of stories. There's obviously a lot of talk about Will Smith. There's been talk for years and years. It's nothing new. It's just that you haven't, the focus has been because of Jada Pinkett Smith's book that came out. So, you know, everybody's kind of been focusing on that, and everybody's just kind of taking advantage of, hey, let me jump in, let me start telling my stories. I don't know if Will Smith will ever respond to any of them at all. There has been kind of things where, no, that's not true and stuff like that. But if you just look at the entirety or the totality of their situation and the people that they've been with and whether or not they've been separated. And there's, when you have tons and tons of stories, it's hard to, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire kind of thing.
Yeah. Right. Now, Scientology is an interesting one. I don't know much about it, obviously. Ben Boyce is a practicing Scientologist. He doesn't share too much intel on the church, but is it true that they get, say, if you take Will Smith, for example, or Tom Cruise, they will get them in, and then they will hold over them some incriminating piece of information, whether it be about their sexuality or some sort of video that they've been caught involved with, some sort of video that they've, you know, in an entanglement, and they'll hold that over them in order to get them to do things for the church.
I mean, that has obviously been alleged over the years. It makes sense if you think about it, because one of the things, the tenets of Scientology is that, let's say you go in and you have what's called an auditor, and you're attached to an e-meter, which is a poor man's version of a lie detector. And you sit there and you unburden, and that's the only way that you will ever be, their term, clear. Like, you'll be, the only way you can achieve the next level of your, you know, consciousness and stuff is to get rid of all your burdens. And so you're getting rid of all your burdens to somebody who's, you know, recording it, taking notes and stuff. And so let's say during this unburdening, you tell some kind of secret that you don't want out to anybody. And then at some point you decide that, hey, maybe Scientology is not for you. And you're tired of giving them, you know, several hundred thousand dollars a year. They would like to remind you of, hey, you know, when you unburden this kind of thing, you know, we'd hate for that to become public, you know. Oh. So, you know, that's always been alleged, you know, why Tom Cruise is. And also, here's the thing. Let's say they had something on Tom Cruise, right? Let's just say they did. And I'm not saying they do, but let's say that they did. So Tom Cruise is treated like a rock star in Scientology, right? He has, instead of paying for household staff, he gets as many household staff as he wants for free. He's treated like a king. People basically bow down to him. So it's an additional level of being this A-plus list actor. So at some point, do you say to yourself, it's totally worth it, just to stay in this because I'm treated so well? But on the opposite end, I feel like John Travolta, the only reason he stayed in it for as long as he did is because Kelly Preston basically forced him to stay in. And I think that he was trying to disassociate from Scientology for a long time, but wasn't able to, not just from the pull of Scientology, but also from the pull of his wife. And then you'll have somebody like Nancy Cartwright, you know, character, you know, there's a lot of voices on The Simpsons and stuff like that. And where else is she going to get the love and attention that she does there? I mean, she's a voiceover actress. Yes, she makes a ton of money, but because she gives Scientology, say, $1 million a year, they treat her as well as they treat Tom Cruise, right? So where is she going to get that kind of adulation other than in a place like Scientology? Is it worth it to her to give them many hundreds of thousands of dollars a year so she's treated, you know, like a rock star?
That's the voice of Bart Simpson. Is she Scientology?
Yeah.
Really?
Wow.
No, well, hey, I mean, each to their own, whatever makes them happy, eh, Ben?
That's right. That's what I like to say. I don't know a lot, even though, John, I said before I was part of it. I don't know a lot about it. Like, I don't actually even understand what it's all about, Scientology.
Is it good or bad?
I mean, if you're asking me my opinion, I think it's bad. It was started by a science fiction writer named L. Ron Hubbard, who was looking for a grift and to sell some books. And he said, you know what I'll do is I'll come up with a religion. And that's basically, you know, what he did. But he disguised it under the thing of, you know, this is the way to get, you know, conscious. And then they came up with, he basically wrote a science fiction novel and decided this is a religion. And, you know, there's beings and stuff that are, you know, more powerful. And he talks about how psychiatry is the root of all evil, which is why you'll see Tom Cruise hammering against Scientology and stuff. Somebody like Bijou Phillips, even though she tried to break free for quite a while, she said horrible things about psychiatrists and medicine and stuff like that. It just, you know, I don't support Tom Cruise in anything. I don't go see his movies. I don't do anything like that. But obviously a lot of people who are anti-Scientology, they're just like, oh, Tom Cruise, he's a movie star and all this kind of stuff. I just don't want to put any money in his pocket that he might end up putting into Scientology.
Yeah, and so you say they pay for his staff. Like, they give him...
Yeah, there was... Okay, I might get some of the details wrong, but it doesn't really matter for legal purposes. But they were trying to recruit David Beckham to come to Scientology. And remember, Dave and Victoria Beckham moved to the U.S. because David Beckham was going to play for the L.A. soccer team. And, you know, he played in the Premier League and all that stuff and comes over here. He's going to play for the L.A. soccer team. It's a big deal. L.A. society was just, oh, my gosh, we're going to have the Beckhams here. And Scientology, in order to try and recruit David Beckham, at one of their centers, they actually spent several hundred thousand dollars making a soccer field, like Premier League quality soccer field grass kind of thing, just to try and convince David Beckham, you know, to come to Scientology. So, I mean, that's the kind of thing that they would do to try and get some huge celebrities to join.
Wow.
Well, he's like, well, there's plenty of other soccer fields. Like, I mean, soccer.
He's got one in his backyard, I think, after watching in the Netflix doco. He's got a lovely one in his backyard.
So now poor Scientology is just left with this overgrown soccer field.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly... I can't remember if he actually even went to see it. But when they came over, Tom Cruise and at that time Katie Holmes' wife were just the assigned escorts for David and Victoria Beckham. Like, just constantly. They never left their side. It was just like, what would you like to do tonight? What would you like to do tonight? What would you like to do tonight? Just never left their side.
Creepy. Creepy, creepy. But hell, sign me up if it gets me any sort of attention, mate. I'm in... Hey, Enty, is there anything else you want to cover, Ben?
No, yeah.
Enty, you're a bloody legend, mate. I tell you what, we'd sign up to any religion you talk to us about. You go and have a wonderful week, and we'll catch up soon.
All right, you guys have a great week.
I see you, Enty.
Thanks, Enty.
Thank you, mate.
All right, thanks,
awesome.
You guys. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Nice.
Did you manage to upload that audio, bro?
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Cool.
PJ,
you
just want to I put the PJ one in there, but I